Good morning. Glad to see you out this morning and glad to have some folks who have been away for a while, are able to be back with us, and that's always a good thing. Appreciate that very much. And we still have plenty of folks who need our prayers regarding illnesses and surgeries and operations and indifference. So be in prayer for all those folks. I want to talk for a few moments this morning, as you've already, I guess, figured out from if you've looked at the bulletin, about the gender agenda. This is becoming more and more prevalent. You can't hardly go through a news cycle without seeing something regarding gender equality, gender rights, gender something. But I just wanted to talk for a few moments about this because these are issues that you and I are going to have to deal with if you haven't already had to deal with it. And I don't mean to sound unkind or cruel, but it's just a silly thing to have to deal with. If we could clear back to 1828 to Webster's Dictionary, the word gender was defined as sex, male or female. It's what I always thought it was. Growing up in the 70s and 80s, I imagine the dictionary definition would have been roughly the same. Dictionary.com says either the male or female division of a species. So far, so good. That's what I always thought it was. But they add this. Especially as differentiated by social and cultural roles and behavior. What's missing there? Biology. And then they go on to say, a similar category of human beings that is outside the male-female binary classification and is based on the individual's personal awareness or identity. So we've taken something that was very simple, male or female, and we're starting to talk about it with regard to the totality of male and female, or the nothingness of male and female. In other words, the word gender is being supplanted by relative and elastic terms such as gender identity. Gender identity is defined by Merriam-Webster as a person's internal sense of being male or female, some combination of male or female, or neither male nor female. Striking. Healthline.com. Listen to this one, folks. You grew up thinking gender was male or female. Healthline.com has listed 64 terms to describe gender identity expression. 64, male or female. You mean they've got 62 other words to describe somebody's gender identity? Facebook has more than 50 options beyond male, female for users to describe their gender identity. They have people who are questioning their gender identity. They have people who claim to be neither male nor female or androgynous. And by, and so here's what they're doing. They're inventing words and terms, and they're redefining commonly accepted terms. And they're trying to force this gender bending upon the populace, on you and me. Genders which the Almighty never even considered or intended. Now, to understand the rationale behind such thinking, we have to dive headlong into the wishy-washy world of relativism and postmodernism. It's a place where 2 + 2 = 5, or whatever you want it to equal. I feel today like I think 2 + 2 = 7. Tomorrow I might feel that 2 + 2 = 1. That's what's happening. But they're doing it with their bodies instead of other things. Frankly, I will not call a man she or a woman he. That goes against God. It's a lie. This world of relativism and postmodernism is a place where it's wrong to assert that anything is right or wrong. It's a place where no absolute objective truth exists. Here's the catch. These relativists cannot even state their position without denying the very position they're trying to state. They say nothing is absolutely true. And then you and I ask, is it absolutely true that nothing is absolutely true? And their position falls apart. But that's the world you have to enter if you want to even have a remote understanding of what is going on. So their agenda is to force right-thinking, God-fearing people to not only accept it, but to assimilate to this ungodly subculture of humanity. You and I place our eternal souls in danger when we call what is sinful good, and when we call what is wrong right. Isaiah wrote, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of Jehovah of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." David Miller notes that this historical trend is most certainly what has been happening in America for the past at least 60 years with regard to homosexuality and transgenderism. And mark it down, brethren. Pedophilia and bestiality are just around the corner. Why is gender identity any of our business? Why should we even discuss it? Because this gender agenda is an abuse of gender. It rejects God as being the sovereign of the universe. And it is hostile to God's plan for his magnificent work of creation. It's hostile to God's plan for the family, and it is detrimental to the proper upbringing of children. So there is an abuse of gender. It's an abuse towards society. And as typically is the case, when man wants to engage in abhorrent, deviant behavior, he will coerce, cajole, intimidate, and bully anyone, including God, if we stand in opposition of it. You recall when those ungodly men surrounded the home of Lot when the angels were there. And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break down the door. You remember the situation. They wanted to go in and have carnal relations with those other men. But they tried to bully Lot into letting them do what they wanted to do. And the same thing will happen to us. If we don't play by their rules, then we are homophobic and racist. In 2012, when then Vice President Joe Biden said that transgender discrimination is the civil rights issue of our time. He said it was a civil rights issue. There's nothing civil about it. It's a slap in the face to God Almighty, who created them, male and female. It's an abuse of science. In a special report entitled Sexuality and Gender, Findings from the Biological, Psychological, and Social Sciences, Lawrence S. Mayer and Paul R. McHugh released their startling findings. Now, before we look at the study, I want to notice just briefly the qualifications of these men. The lead author, Dr. Mayer, is an epidemiologist trained in psychiatry. He is a biostatistician and a research physician, having trained in medicine and psychiatry in the UK and received the British equivalent to the MB to the American MD. Currently a scholar in residence at the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He is a professor of statistics and biostatistics at Arizona State. He's been a full-time tenured professor for over 40 years. He's held positions at Princeton, University of Pennsylvania, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, Bloomberg School of Public Health and Medicine, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and the University of Michigan. He's held appointments in 23 disciplines, including statistics, biostatistics, epidemiology, public health. In other words, he's credentialed. His co-host is arguably the most important American psychiatrist of the half century and one of the leading psychiatrists in the world. And he is former chief of psychiatry at Johns Hopkins and is presently a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine for 25 years, the psychiatrist in chief at Johns Hopkins University. So what were their findings in this study? Compared to the general population, non-heterosexual subpopulations are at an elevated risk for a variety of adverse health and mental health outcomes. And they are estimated to have about 1.5 times higher risk of experiencing anxiety disorders than members of the heterosexual population, as well as roughly double the risk of depression. 1.5 times the risk of substance abuse, and nearly 2.5 times the risk of suicide. Further, members of the transgender population are also at a higher risk of a variety of mental health problems compared to members of non-transgender population, with the rate of lifetime suicide attempts across all ages of transgender individuals is estimated at 41%, compared to under 5% of the overall United States population. Regarding gender identity, the research showed that the hypothesis that gender identity is an innate, fixed property of human beings that is independent of biological sex, that a person might be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body, is not supported by scientific evidence. They're not concerned about scientific evidence anyhow, because they don't care what the biology says. They're going with what they feel inside, regardless of how they look on the outside. Compared to the general population, adults who have undergone sex reassignment surgery continue to have a high risk of experiencing poor mental health outcomes. One study found that compared to controls, sex reassigned individuals were about 5 times more likely to attempt suicide and about 19 times more likely to die by suicide. In view of the finality of such drastic surgeries and their impact on mental health, the report insists that nearly all children ultimately identify with their biological sex. Kids have more sense than the grown-ups do. The notion that a 2-year-old, having expressed thoughts or behaviors identified with the opposite sex, can be labeled for life as transgender has absolutely no support in science, and indeed it is iniquitous. These are scientists using words like iniquitous, to believe that all children who have gender atypical thoughts or behaviors at some point in their development, particularly before puberty, should be encouraged to become transgender. The obvious conclusion, if the Bible is in fact of divine origin, if there really is a God, and he is the God of the Bible, then the information given in the Bible can be counted for its veracity. And if it affirms explicitly that homosexuality, transgenderism, and all these things are against nature and an abomination, then we can know that such behavior is not genetic. And that's the argument they're trying to make upon us. So let's look for a few moments at the origin and design of gender. It is alleged by some that gender is a construct of society, that society made up gender. Socially constructed in the sense that, unlike biological sex, gender is a product of society. If society determines what is masculine or feminine, then society can change what is considered masculine, feminine, or anything in between. No one needs to be locked into a fixed gender. Isn't that nice? You get up one morning and you feel like a man. You go do manly things. The next day you get up and you feel like a woman and you go do womanly things. You get up in the morning and you don't know what you feel like, then I guess you go as Marilyn Manson. Men and women were purposely designed to be different. There are many things that both genders are capable of doing and doing well. And there are some things that are obviously more suited to one than the other. Gender is a divine distinction. God said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make mankind there, anthropos, in our image after our likeness." So God, as sovereign of the universe, created human beings by his design and for his purpose. Now, God could have created as many genders as he wanted. But for his purpose, he chose two. Gender also has a purposeful distinction. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2:24. God had in mind varying roles for men and women. Some are rather obvious. Women are to be wives. A man can't be a wife, according to God's definition. A man can't be a mother. Men, we couldn't handle it. We couldn't take it. By definition, a man cannot be a wife. And women were given the role of mother, Genesis 4 and verse 1. God recognizes a purposeful and definite distinction between men and women. And one simply cannot say that gender is inconsequential or that it's fluid. Males and females are not absolutely interchangeable. There is also a logical distinction. Genesis 1:27-28, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, if you're reading from the King James, that word replenish, that is in our English Bibles. Some use that to argue, well, see, the earth was inhabited before Adam and Eve came here. That word in the Hebrew simply means to fill. It doesn't necessarily mean to refill, okay? Get that. But here's the deal. He created them male and female. Not two males. Not two females. Because the next command would have been impossible with two men or two women. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Two males or two females would not be able to procreate. Two beings with identical reproductive organs cannot perpetuate mankind. A biological impossibility. So society, in an effort to supplant and violate God's established pattern of human binary sexuality, have fabricated myriads of subgenders to appease feelings of personal dissatisfaction with their God-given gender. To further their agenda, they insist that you and I accept and celebrate their aberrant behavior, ignoring what God says, ignoring what natural law teaches us, and we are to delve into their relativistic and confusing subculture of sin. God, not man, created gender. Genesis 1:27, male and female created he them. So since it is the case that God hath given unto us all that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3, and since it is the case that God created only male and female, that is the pattern of divine distinction, male and female, that's it. Not 64 descriptions. Not 50 descriptions, not even 3 descriptions. Male and female. And as Christians, we do not have to accept a position that some are making that would cause us to misrepresent and lie. To call a man a woman is a lie. To call a woman is a man, or a man is a lie. And the woke, political correct, brain dead people who want us to accept this are out of their minds. And they are certainly out of the grasp of God. I get aggravated And yet at the same time, I genuinely feel sorry for people who are so confused. How did we get here? It's because the Bible has been rejected and ignored. These people need help. These people need the Word of God preached to them. They need to hear the saving words of the gospel. They need to recognize God's plan for mankind. The soul is in danger. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing for us who've been around to see this change happen. To not be, I guess, if we're honest, somewhat repulsed by the whole idea. My first reaction when I see these things is anger. But that should be my reaction to any sin, whether it's homosexuality, transgenderism, pedophilia, bestiality. I should get angry at sin. But I also need to be compassionate towards the sinner. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know that Jesus died to forgive them of their sins and that they can have the forgiveness if they will repent and come out of the sin they're in. Whatever the sin is, we need to repent. We need to confess the Lord Jesus. And we need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we would urge you to think carefully of your eternal soul. Contemplate eternity and where you want to dwell there for eternity. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, please come now as we stand and sing.